people, get two for you, get three for dad, get a lot of them. Go to omahasteaks.com and in the search bar, just type Dan.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about retirement?
I've thought about it, but it's too late for me to save.
With Avo, a retirement coach, it's never too late.
Where can I learn more?
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen: radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Each of us has a purpose. We are destined to do something meaningful, not only to support our loved ones, but to positively impact our communities throughout the country. What do you think a private Christian education looks like? Grand Canyon University offers over 175 high-quality online programs across 9 colleges. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. 4 lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including 4 amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Date AD prioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, user rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'd like to see all the documents that are hidden in Washington. And there's people starting now to be... I heard yesterday there's some group, I forget the group, has been investigating extraterrestrial visits, whatever. I need some proof. I need some proof. It's been a mystery forever. I've always been very interested. I did have a book when I was a kid about UFOs and things like that. It was a very interesting topic to me. I find it hard to believe that we're the only existing life form, but I do. I would like to see proof.
Gotta show him, damn it. You better find those documents in Washington. They've declassified some of the videos of some oddly moving objects out there. Don Cooper, looking for signs of life in our universe outside of the Earth. I'm just going to set this up, and you're just going to lap it up. Enjoy this. White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper, yesterday afternoon, was on The Score on the McNeil and Parkins show with Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody. And the conversation begins with Don Cooper's reaction to the White Sox selecting University of Tennessee left-hander Garrett Crochet with the 11th pick in the draft.
I loved it. Listen, it's a great time of the year, you know, for baseball. And, hey, on the draft, you're going to be filling up your organization with more talent. The White Sox are getting stronger, you know, with this draft and what we've done over the last handful of years and this last offseason. You know, we're building. And sooner or later, we're going to get started, and then we'll continue that process. But, you know, the draft is a great time for us because you look forward to, you know, these kids are getting opportunity to reach their dreams by getting drafted at the pro ball. The ultimate dream is when you get to the big leagues. The real ultimate dream is staying there and contributing to championships. But, you know, it's just a good time for us because we're excited about the kids that we're going to be adding. And we added the crochet kid in yesterday, and we move on to today's portion of the draft.
Hey, Don, I have not watched a lot of his tape, but just seeing some last night, he's got that three-quarter arm slot. Seems like he hides the ball really well. We know about the fastball of like 96 to 100 and the slider, but when somebody hides the ball like that, I always think of Sid Fernandez. For some reason, I guess that's when I learned like what that is and how much harder it can make on a hitter. Those at-bats looked awkward against Garrett Crochet. How big is it, the way that he hides the ball and comes at it from a funky angle like that?
It's not as big as the 95 to 100, and it's not as big as the nasty slider.
Okay.
Those are the two big things. You know, I've asked plenty of people, you know, about, and plenty of hitters over the years, what makes deception, and nobody really can answer that question for me. But, you know, to Sid Fernandez, when he used to push it out of his jersey, kind of. You know, listen, all I know is, we just got a real good young left-handed pitcher that is going to be contributing at some point to the Chicago White Sox continued climb to get back to where we want to be. We've gone through a difficult time with the rebuild. It seems to be over, and now we're trending upward. I'm trending in a great direction. So that's, for all that, I'm excited for.
They kept bringing up Chris Sale last night because apparently Crochet modeled the shape of his slider after Chris Sale, and it's easy because he's 6'6 and a lefty and comes at it a little funky. But I remember obviously as do you, Coop, Sale pitching in relief right away at Winston-Salem and then at Charlotte, then coming up so fast. Mike Shirley says he sees Crochet as a starter eventually. Do you think it's conceivable these days that he could do the same kind of thing if it called for it? Would you have any aversion to doing that kind of thing again, like you guys did with Sale, where you start somebody out in the bullpen and use him like that?
Well, it's different. It's different because Sale pitched an entire college season and then went, pitched a couple innings in the minor leagues and came up to help us, try to help us win. This kid hasn't played all year. So that right there is a pretty big difference. Another difference I'm going to point out, you can bring up all the comparable guys to anybody. Let's not put that on him. You know, Chris Sale is Chris Sale and Crochet is Crochet. You know, Chris Sale, for what it's worth, you guys, everybody had the same concerns. Is he's not going to be able to be healthy. He's not going to be able to start. You know, and all of that got blown up, right? None of that ever came to fruition. Matter of fact, not only was he one of the baddest relievers for the time he was in the bullpen, Sale, he became one of the baddest starters in baseball. He was on, prior to injury, a Hall of Fame-like career. So let's not put that on anybody. The Hall of Fame guys are free. Let this kid, let's just go out and play and let things unfold. You know, the comparable guys, yeah, I get that. I see similarities as well. But that's physical similarities, you know. I mean, listen, I'm not comparing him with Chris Sale. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, forget the comps then, Coop. And you said, though, that one of the things about Sale is that he was a bad man as a reliever. And part of the reason he was...
That was because as a reliever, he was bad. Nobody wanted to face him because he threw it 90, you know, however hard he threw it, with a nasty-ass slider. You know,
exactly.
That's why he was good. And that's why he was just as good as a starter. Plus, there was an additional usage of his changeup, a three pitch. I'm still a believer that you need three pitches to be a starter in the big leagues. Now, with that being said, we drafted this kid to be a starter. You know, we don't draft him in the first round to be a reliever. You know what I mean? We're going to do everything in our power to get this guy as good as he can be, and everything will turn out the way it's supposed to. But we are thinking starters.
So all that said, Crochet comes in with that, at least with the velocity part. How important is that for a base, for a starting pitcher in this day and age?
It's huge. Yeah, listen, it's not only this day and age, every day and age. Everybody's been enamored by velocity and speed in every different sport for many, many years. This is not new, you know. The bottom line is this kid's got a good, strong arm, and he can throw the out of a fastball and crank the heck out of a breaking ball. Well, now the job is going to be, can we throw those two pitches where we want? And that's going to be the process. When we get hands on this kid, we are going to be working fastball location everywhere. We're going to be slider location, both sides of the plate, dirt when we want it, and we're going to be working on a changeup, a continued development of a changeup. Because that's going to complete those three things are his package. Those three pitches are his package now. We're going to try to take them as far as we can take them.
Yeah, apparently he does have a changeup, Coop, but it lags behind the other two pitches.
Nobody wants to talk about it because he throws the fastball, you say, in 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I believe all I know is this kid's got a major league arm. I'll get to see what number pops up on the gun when we get him here in Chicago. You'll all get to see it then. If it's 100, well, that's great. Let me tell you something. 95 still works if you throw it right where you want. You know, so that's going to be the goal. But nobody talks about the changeup because everybody wants to talk about the fastball and slider.
We heard his coach on today. His coach from Tennessee was on the morning show with Mully and Haw today and was saying that there's a connection with Mark Burley because J.P. Arencibia is a sometime coach there at Tennessee, and he was Burley's teammate in Toronto. And the coach was saying, boy, it'd be great for Burley to talk to Garrett Crochet since Burley was such a great pro and, you know, so reliable. And I wondered, would Burley be into that? I don't know. Like,
no.
He was an unbelievable pro, but being a mentor is a different kind of thing.
The answer is no. The answer is no. I mean, you can get anybody in the world. Listen, he's going to have enough people talk to him. He's going to have plenty of teammates, and he's going to have plenty of people coaching him. So to whip up Burley as a guy who's been gone for 6 years, hey, give this guy a call. I don't think it's going to happen, okay? I just don't believe it's going to happen. So,
well, what pitcher on your staff? Who's a guy that he should follow in terms of?
How about Keiko? How about Giolito? How about anybody? any teammate that's been in the big leagues for a period of time, certainly they have plenty to offer, don't they?
No doubt about it, man. You definitely got some guys in that regard. And while we're talking about the guys on the staff now, and speaking of velocity, because Michael Kopech was a guy who, you know, had that, I think, 103 or 104 mile per hour fastball that he was whipping on YouTube. How's Kopech doing? And if baseball does get going this year, will he be with the team right away because he's had extra time, or could his season just be off this year?
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, like who's going to be on the team and not. You know what I mean? We didn't even finish spring training. We're going to have to restart and go from there eventually. But the good news, Michael Kopech is good. Every one of our pitchers right now, knock wood, are good and where they need to be if and when we start to try to give us an edge to try to hit the ground running. It'll all come out in the wash that who's going to be on the 26-man roster, who's going to be on the taxi squad, if that's the right name for it, and who's going to be eligible for us to bring up. There is no minor leagues this year, obviously. So there's going to be – we don't even know the rules yet. You know what I mean? So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But what I will tell, Michael Kopech is good. Carlos Rodon is good, climbing. Dane Dunning. Good climbing. Ryan Burr climbing. Stevers healthy. There's one other. Lambert Lambert, climbing. These were all guys that were on our injured list and are out in Arizona now preparing. And all of our guys are doing that right now, preparing. Preparing for when we do start. So that's what I got. We're in good shape physically right now. I mean, Michael is back from his injury. Carlos is just about back, and he's going to be ready. And the other guys I've mentioned, they're going to be possibilities if and when we start.
Coop, have you been using Zoom with these guys like the rest of us, learning how to use Zoom? Have you done any of that?
Once or twice, but we're sending out emails, we're texting, and we're staying in contact. So we know where our guys are at and what they're doing. They're anxious. We're all anxious. But again, when you have no control over the situation, all you can do is just try to be patient until it happens.
Hey, Coop, I did not know you're a bird guy. Are you outside or are you a bird guy?
I'm not outside. That's my cockatiel. I'm an animal guy. I got four dogs, two cats, a bird. There's usually, if I take my dogs out in the backyard, there's dogs across the street, dogs in the cul-de-sac, and they're all running around frolicking and playing, and it's kind of cool to watch it.
The bird's got to be nervous, though, man. With all those animals around, it seems like the bird's got to protect himself.
I got fish, too. Yeah, we got it all. We love them. Let me tell you something. My animals go to the vet and doctor and get haircuts more than I do.
So, yeah, because the cockatiel, they've got that cool yellow hair that sticks straight up. You style that thing? Does he look good, the cockatiel?
Yeah, he's looking at me right now, and let's see if I can get him. When I whistle, he'll whistle. But, he doesn't get much touch. We don't touch him too much. From time to time, if we get all the dogs and cats out of the house, we might. And he'll walk around and be on our shoulder and things like that. But he doesn't get out of the cage too much. The dogs and cats are perilous to him.
What's the name of the cockatiel? And if you don't mind, share the names of some of the dogs and the cats. I want to know who's with you.
The cockatiel's Jack. Whisper, the female dog we just adopted, is trying to steal another one of my dog's food. Whisper's a female. We got Lily, who's a female, and she's Lily. a black lab. Let me tell you, this Whisper that I got, this dog can fly, and he jumps. We sent her somewhere to get training, and she jumped over a 6-foot wall 2 times. The guy told me no dog's ever done that. But we got two girls, Whisper and Lily, and we got Buster, a little, what kind of dog is it? A Shih Tzu, what?
Of course.
Maltese Shih Tzu. And I got a Bichon poodle, too. That's Lucky. But I'm thinking about mating say it again? No. I'm thinking about mating the Shih Tzu with a bulldog, and then I'll have a
That's what you need. I mean, you're giving our dump button a workout with cockatiel and Shih Tzu, so you might as well go the whole way. Cool.
We got it all. And everyone but two have been rescued.
That's
everyone in my animals except two have been rescued.
That's terrific.
I'm sure a lot of people that are listening, I'd like to think the people that are listening have animals and, listen, we love them. We take good care of them. I don't think any of them will run. Although, I will say this, Lucky the Bichon, going back to 1996, I think, we had them all out in Arizona. No, I'm sorry, 2006. We had Lucky and three dogs out in Arizona in Tucson. And he disappeared. Lucky disappeared for 30 days.
Oh, Jesus.
We did everything we could in Arizona to try to find this dog. Nothing. And 30 days later, we left spring training, went to Chicago, and we finally got a call that the dog was found, and we had to fly back and go get him.
What do you think? That's amazing. Do you think Lucky was unhappy with something about that spring training, Coop? I mean,
it was nothing like that. I think Lucky's just a pain in the butt. You know, I think whoever had him got tired of him. You know, I got to tell you, Ozzy was the manager at that time, and my kids were little. You know, they were little. Yeah. And they were upset that the dog was we lost our dog. So you can anticipate that. And Ozzy was nice enough to tell both of my kids to forget about that dog because it's now Mexican barbecue.
Oh, no. Hey, Coop, awesome. I got to ask you. I adopted a cat. I only have one animal in the house, but can I add to the repertoire a cat? This cat's about 1.5. If I add a bird and a dog, will the cat accept the bird and the dog, or should I have gotten those at the same time?
No, you don't worry about getting them at the same time. We didn't do anything like that. If the bird's in the cage, you're safe. You know what I mean?
Okay.
My cats can't get the birds. And many of the – it's an interesting dynamic that we got in the house because – when we added the last dog, which is a female mix, the dynamic changed, and one of my dogs would want to go after her, but the dog that went after her could do no damage to her because the female dog is much, much more powerful. Hmm. They all get along now. They all get along. As a matter of fact, the cats I got, you don't want to mess with these cats because if the dogs mess with the cats, they're gonna get scratched up because they protect themselves. We don't declaw our animals, you know. So they don't mess with the cats, the dogs, in any way, you know, negatively. If anything, they're curious and would like to play some of the dogs with the cat.
I don't know, Coop. It's an interesting dynamic
that I like watching.
Yeah, see, it sounds like a clubhouse, frankly, where, like, sometimes some players don't like hanging out with the other ones. They got to get together,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll hear a fight going on, but I don't worry because I know who's starting the fight, and I know whoever that dog starting the fight is going to get beat up. They won't get hurt. Like, the little white one, Bichon Poodle, will attack from time to time, whisper the female mix. But the female mix can turn the poodle over on his back and pin him. But it doesn't stop the poodle from continuing to try to attack from time to time. He's gotten his butt kicked more than a few times, but continues to come back.
Toughness is showing the toughness, Coop.
Listen, let's talk about baseball for a second because you just stimulated my mind to think about this.
Okay.
Talking about Crochet, what I heard was this kid got hit in the jaw with a batted ball.
Yep.
Yes.
Broke his jaw, and a week later he came back in pitching. So I think that kid has got a certain amount of toughness to go along with the physical stuff. Which is above average physical stuff that he possesses. And
yeah.
I thought that was an interesting little story to go along with Crochet.
Absolutely. I think you can talk to him about the toughness of your dogs and the toughness of coming back from the jaw injury.
We'll have too many other things to get to. I'm not going to be bringing that up to this guy. You know, when I leave here to go start the season,
yes,
we're going to be well focused on everything that we've got to be doing, and I'll see home when I get back after the season, whenever that is. There's too much other stuff to talk about and who knows? I might ask him one day if he likes dogs and if he has any. Most everybody on the team has animals and dogs, like you, me, and everybody.
Coop, do you bring the dogs to the dog days over at Guaranteed Rate Field?
When they're in Chicago, they come. That's one of my favorite days.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. Coop, I got to tell you, if it is a 50-game season, I could see the White Sox going 35-15 out of the gate and winning the damn division. A short season might benefit you guys.
Well, listen. Short, long, that's a good thought you got. All I'm thinking about is I want to win more than everybody else, win more games than everybody else. That's it.
That is it. Ladies and gentlemen, the irrepressible, sui generis Don Cooper. Just any number of times, just his passion for it, the way he describes things. I guess I don't have to say much about that. That's all there is to say about that. Because what do you say? Other than that was Don Cooper on the score. And next up, we're going to talk some Blackhawks hockey. They're back on the ice. So we'll talk to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times about what he saw and what's going to happen next on the score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. 22 NBA teams will report to Orlando for a shot at a title, and by telling eight squads, you know, don't bother showing up. The league sent a message. The NBA also guarantees 14 of those 22 squads that do play will be done within 53 days. That's the same message. That is, we know you don't want to be here. Yes, the smaller pool of teams, the less risk of exposure. Fewer players means fewer variables. But it also says, hope we're not cutting into your summer too much. When the NBA playoffs start in April, players don't say, oh man, the finals are in June. Let's just get bounced early. Let's hope this NBA postseason doesn't feel like kids checking the clock every 5 minutes for school to end. This is Damon Amendolara.
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
I saved big money with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, so I finally bought that new set of golf clubs. Watch out, fairway, here I come!
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big with Progressive, but your other expenses won't just disappear. Are those clubs going to help you when the hot water heater dies? Also, it sounds like your money is better spent on golf lessons.
Time to go shoot the course record!
No, but maybe time for a reality check. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Thanks for streaming The Score. McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score. Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
Ryan's done a really good job at the communication part with myself and really kind of now that we're going into our third year of trying to figure out, okay, where are we at? What do we need? How can we get better? And then once, you know, you get into that process, you start having, obviously, you're dealing with all different types of players. I think the word trust doesn't get used enough. And so when you have that trust for all these players, you understand not only what you're getting as that player, but as the person, too, that's helping build this culture that we've built in the last 2 years. Now, we've had from 2018 to go 12-4 to win the NFC North, and then to go to last year where there was more of a struggle, but we never wavered. Our guys stuck together. Is that good enough? No.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Here we do not ask what will tomorrow hold, but rather what will you hold tomorrow? A breakfast baconator? A honey butter chicken biscuit? A sausage egg and Swiss croissant? A frosty chino? Buy any of these four Wendy's breakfast favorites and get another for just $1. Tomorrow's looking good.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon. Vincent Goodwill.
One thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. and I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, or radio.com sports station.
Opinions about sports, everybody's got them. Mike Francesa's opinions, they're pretty strong.
Sometimes, folks, I watch these games, I wonder where the coaches leave their brains.
If it's happening in sports, Mike's got an opinion on it.
It's only been going on at baseball for 70 years.
Catch Mike's On with Francesa. Huh? Weekdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern on the free radio.com app. Just search Mike.
Let's be honest. This is protect my image, throw somebody else to the alligators before they eat me.
Mike's On. Radio.com.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the host of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's an ongoing process, but I think we have to be cautious about kind of talking about certain dates and coming back when nothing is settled as of yet. We just want to be cautious as players, put that message out that, you know, we want a fair shake at it. And if that happens, great, and we come back and they're able to play, I think everyone's all for that.
That's Patrick Kane. Sounded like he's pumping the brakes a little bit there. Let's talk some Blackhawks as they were back on the ice and meeting with reporters for the first time in a long time. One of those reporters is Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times. His Twitter handle is at BenPopeCST. He's with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So what is it when you hear Patrick Kane talk with that kind of trepidation, what are we talking about here? Like how much question is there as to if and how this is going to return?
Well, it was definitely interesting to hear him talk with that level of pessimism, especially considering that Sam Bowman and Jeremy Colladin had preceded him on the Zoom call yesterday and had both spoke about the playoffs like it was a sure thing. Basically, the situation is the NHL and the NHLPA did agree that on a July 10th training camp starting date, which is what Kane was talking about. But that agreement is contingent upon both sides reaching an overall agreement in time for July 10th. And that's where they still haven't come together yet. There are issues like what the safety precautions are going to be like for the playoffs, what the quarantine rules will be like, who will be able to come along in terms of family, where the games obviously will be held. We haven't even determined that yet. And then also further down the line, what the off-season format will look like, when next season will start, how that will even affect future seasons beyond 2020-21. So that's what Kane was referring to. And Kane's obviously someone who's been around a long time, has a lot of contacts around the league, is pretty involved in the Players Association. And so he just wants to make it clear that even though the NHL is putting out these dates about we're going to start camps on July 10th, we're going to start the playoffs hopefully in the first week of August, that nothing's certain yet, and they still have to reach these overall agreements.
What, if anything, has been the actual effect of the firing of John McDonough and the temporary elevation of Danny Wirtz to that position? Do we know? Because it doesn't seem like there's really a connection at this point to anything going on the ice.
Well, I asked Stan Bowman about that yesterday, and he said that it's mainly dealt with the business side so far, simply because they just don't really have an opportunity to sort of move into a new era in terms of the hockey side, given that everything's been kind of shut down for coronavirus. They're going to come back to the playoffs, presumably, so they haven't had an off season to make trades or to sort of look towards the future. So I think we'll start seeing more impacts of the transition to a new era and potentially more of a rebuilding or forward-looking approach once the playoffs end and once we get into whenever the draft and free agency period ends up being, I think that's when we'll start seeing more effects. But on the business side, it sounds like, while the Hawks have been very mum about it, that the Danny Wirtz has come in and made some changes and brought some new ideas, as guys were saying yesterday.
There were a bunch of injured players when we last left the Blackhawks, and they were missing the services of not just Calvin DeHaan, but Drake Caggiula and Adam Boqvist, and Andrew Shaw was out with a concussion. So I'm wondering, and obviously Brent Seabrook with his 15 surgeries on every body part, I think he's just like a head floating in a jar of fluid right now. But how is the roster going to be different as they're getting some guys back that just have been out of sight, out of mind?
Well, it sounds like DeHaan will be back healthy for the start of not just the playoffs, but for training camp if it starts on time, which was the biggest piece of news to come out of yesterday's interviews, and that'll be big for them. He only played 20 or 30 games before getting his shoulder injured, but it's been a recurring problem for him in December. But he's a top four defenseman who has playoff experience. He went to the conference finals last year in Carolina. He's been around the block. He's a good defenseman who will help out a unit that's clearly the weakest on the team. So getting him back will be a big difference for them. And I think a lot of teams around the league are going to get impact players back, but certainly DeHaan is a big one. And Boqvist and Caggiula were both minor injuries. It sounds like they'll be fine. They recovered pretty early into the coronavirus pause. As far as Shaw and Seabrook and Zach Smith, who had back surgery in late February, they're more uncertain, and it sounds like it'll more depend on how things go once the guys are back on the ice and what the timeline ends up being of games resuming this summer. I'm not very convinced that Andrew Shaw is going to play more hockey in his career, considering his concussion history, but no one's ruled it out. And for Seabrook, it sounds like he is planning to come back at some point, but we're just not entirely sure when that will be.
Did you talk to Jeremy Colliton about how unique it is that it's not just a return, it's a return with a very specific opponent in sight? And you can't really come back without thinking about knowing who you're going to play, that everything has to be about the Edmonton Oilers. How does he balance just, getting guys in shape and doing what they do and concentrating on doing what they do and not necessarily focusing on this next hurdle? You know exactly the team you're going to have to beat, that you may have to push back against a tendency to gear everything toward your upcoming opponent.
Yeah, certainly a weird and unprecedented situation to have 2 months to prepare for a five-game series. I mean, that's never really happened before in NHL history. So it's in a weird spot, and definitely there would be an inclination to just constantly think about the Oilers and that matchup. But it sounds like Colliton's going to try to avoid doing that. It sounds like he's scouted the Oilers some, and then now is going to take a step back and focus more on the team until they get into training camp, sort of get going again, and then maybe start redirecting his attention back to the Oilers matchup. That seems like a smart way to go about it, in my opinion, but certainly there's a lot of time to prepare, and the Oilers have the same situation with the Hawks, so it's going to be interesting to see how that sorts out, especially considering how intriguing of a matchup it is, even from a third-party perspective, with the Oilers having McDavid and Draisaitl, the two leading scores in the league this year, and obviously the Hawks having their Stanley Cup core back in the playoffs for the first time in 3 years. So it'll be really interesting to see to how it sorts out.
How much was there any reverberation of the statements made by both Jonathan Toews and Zach Smith, the Blackhawks themselves? Toews has really been brilliant at talking about what has been happening regarding the Black Lives Matter movement and what's happened in the wake of the murder of George Floyd at the hands of a white Minneapolis police officer. Toews has really led in a way that captains do. Were players open to talk about it, willing to talk about it, or it just didn't come up?
Yes, they were. I'm pretty sure that everyone who spoke yesterday was asked about the protests and about racial equality in general. And they were all receptive about it. They all said, the right things. They were very understanding and certainly supportive of the movement that's going on across our country right now. Taves was not one of the players who was made available yesterday, so we weren't able to talk with him about his statement, which was obviously very powerful and emotional. But Kane and Alex DeBrincat and Connor Murphy, as well as Bowman and Colleton, all had the right things to say about the issue. I found Colleton's to be interesting. Being a Canadian, he was talking about how it's been interesting for him. His daughter was born in the U.S. She's a U.S. citizen, and to sort of navigate that of not being an American but living in America, and sort of his feeling of responsibility and duty to help improve injustice here, even not as a U.S. citizen or not as a U.S. born person.
I've also been reading that in Canada there is an increased movement to understand the headwinds and discrimination faced by the hockey players who are of the Indigenous Canadian tribes. And I know Jordan Tutu would be one of those, and there have been many others. And as I think about it, I wonder when the reconciliation comes with the logo on the Blackhawks jersey. We've talked about it at length even before this. And if we're going to talk about Washington football and Cleveland baseball, regardless of the history and how they sort of hide behind the fact that it's our World War I artillery regiment and the whole thing, it's still a cartoon Native American. And do you think this would accelerate any discussion of the Blackhawks moving on to a different logo?
Well, I haven't heard anything yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if sometime soon or sometime in the next few years that discussion does come up. Obviously, I mean, you look at it, it's pretty racist. I don't think there's any way around it.
Yup.
So we'll see what comes out of it. It's interesting to me because the Redskin situation is one thing where it would take a total rebranding for them to remove the racism from their name and their logo. The Blackhawks have a pretty easy fix. They have a secondary logo that I think is honestly pretty good. The one that they wear on their shoulders that they could just revert to. It's already there. They don't even have to make a new one. And then even if it continued on to the name, you just add a space and make it Black Hawks. It's no different than the Golden Knights at that point. And you can pretty easily remove the offensive Native American references here. So it'll be interesting to see if there's some push at some point for that to happen soon.
And I've seen alternate logos that have been made, and I don't know how official they are, but I've seen ones that actually use a bird similarly, and they look awesome. I mean, there's some really cool things they can do, and to keep their color scheme and keep everything the same, just remove the racism.
Yeah, it's very doable. It's kind of fortunate how doable it is, and hopefully we see at some point down the line, hopefully sooner rather than later, that there is a push for them to do that and they're receptive to it because it is such an easy fix.
Ben, great stuff. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
That is Ben Pope, the Hawks beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. The Midday Midway is coming up. And I've got a petition that now has, I believe, over 30,000 signatures as a way to replace the statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond, one of the native sons of Richmond, who has been a point of discussion on this show, is being nominated as the next statue in Richmond. We'll get to that. We also have a crazy story about a positive steroid test. An Olympic athlete was injected, shall we say, with steroids, yet has been cleared because of the nature of the injection. We'll get to her when we come back on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Here we do not ask what will tomorrow hold, but rather what will you hold tomorrow? A breakfast baconator? A honey butter chicken biscuit? A sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant? A frosty chino? Buy any of these four Wendy's breakfast favorites and get another for just a buck. Tomorrow's looking good.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias, Dimas.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Chicago Cubs, a big thank you to all the healthcare workers, first responders, and those working at essential businesses who are keeping us safe, healthy, and happy during these very trying times. We're all in this together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just want to say the biggest thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums. Use rules. $30 activation fee and restrictions apply.
Chicago is strong, always has been. In the midst of crisis, we come together to work, fight, contribute, and to show gratitude to the real heroes of this story. Stay strong and bear down.
The Score covered ESPN's Last Dance from beginning to end with the people who lived it.
BJ Armstrong.
You know, we played blackjack, and the whole team would always play against Michael.
Bill Wennington.
People really forget how good Scotty was.
Jordan's trainer, Tim Grover.
I'm going to come back stronger.
Lou Kanellis.
And the guy I felt the most sadness for was Michael Jordan.
Scott Williams.
All the success that I have has because of Michael Jordan making one phone call for me.
Dan Patrick.
Making sure I brought Jordan to life.
Jason Hayer, director of The Last Dance.
Why go to Phil Jackson and say you can go 82-0 and you're still not coming back?
Scott Burrell.
They weren't coming to beat the Bulls. They were coming to beat Jordan.
Will Perdue.
We got to see six championships in 8 years. We were spoiled.
Dr. Todd Boyd from The Last Dance.
A huge percentage of the population has been watching this.
Former Seattle coach George Karl.
Jerry thought I was playing a negotiating ploy.
Andrea Kramer.
They went out as champions. Isn't it better to go out that way?
Go to 670thescore.com to hear The Score's incredible interviews with the people who live the 90s Bulls. 670 The Score is a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com,
Chicago sports station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
On the first portion of our show today, on this sunny Friday in Chicago, we had a conversation about the reconciling our feelings of the 1998 home run chase as we get ready on Sunday night to watch A.J. Schnock's documentary. He's going to join us, by the way, at 11, the director of Long Gone Summer. And just figuring out that, and the reason why it came up in my head the way it did is because Phil Rosenthal of the Tribune gave the film a negative review for the primary reason why I gave it a positive one. And it was the choice by A.J. Schnock of when to confront the elephant in the room. And I thought by doing it late, swiftly, and brutally at the very, very end, it recapitulated our experience. We got to have the joy of it again. We got to live it as we lived it. And Phil Rosenthal thought there was a responsibility to have a little more context and maybe a little more finger wagging and more shaming than I guess I had the stomach for. I think I'm kind of past that, and I enjoyed reliving it in the way that we did. We discussed it. We heard from Pat Hughes when he was on with Mike Mulligan earlier today. We heard Steve Stone's thoughts on it. And then, boy, Robert Quinn of the Bears yesterday, just really raw and real about what he has gone through over the past few years since Colin Kaepernick began his protests and his conflict and his feeling and his, frankly, his sadness and helplessness. It was really honest stuff that I think people need to hear. If you haven't heard Robert Quinn, go back and listen if you can on the podcast. You can do it through radio.com as well. Then we replayed a Don Cooper interview that there really are few words. It was Don Cooper on baseball and animals and dogs and cats and birds living together. And then Ben Pope gave us the latest on the return of Blackhawk hockey. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. All right, there is a petition out there now. I saw the picture and I said, wait, that's my guy. The late Dave Brocky. You say, well, who's that? I've never heard of Dave Brocky. Well, maybe you've heard of Guar. And I think Guar is continuing to exist as a shock metal band in some capacity without their brains, their heart, their soul, Dave Brocky, who died of a heroin overdose. And the character that Dave Brocky played was known as Odorous Urungus. And go ahead and Google that. I used to follow him on Twitter and because he's a sports fan and just really entertaining. I just loved having him in my Twitter timeline and miss him. Out with Robert E. Lee and in with Odorous Urungus. A new petition is calling for a statue of the late Guar frontman, real name Dave Brocky, to be erected in his adopted home state of Virginia. And it notes there's an opening in Richmond where a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee is scheduled for removal. Although Brocky was born in Canada, his family moved to Virginia when he was a child. He was a co-founder of Guar, the shock rock band known for its wild costumes and violent stage show with copious amounts of fake blood and other fluids that would spew into an ecstatic audience. According to the petition, Robert E. Lee is a failed war general that supported a racist cause. For too long, the city of Richmond has been displaying statues of him and other loser Civil War veterans. We, the scumdogs of the universe, that's what the Guar fans call themselves, call on the city of Richmond to erect a statue of great local leader Odorous Urungus in its place. And that is at change.org. And currently, 30,372 people have signed and counting. Now 30,377 people. They're trying to get it to 35,000. So go ahead and find it. You can find that petition at change.org. I wonder if the statue would include, and I hope I remember this, he, all as part of his costume, had a massive phallus that would sort of dangle from him that was known as the cuttlefish of Cthulhu, in reference to the Lovecraftian god of ultimate evil. And it was a thing. I think it was lost at some point, and then it was recovered, sort of like Lucky the Bichon, Don Cooper's dog that he thought had been turned into barbecue somewhere in Mexico. But I believe they recovered it. You cannot have that statue without having the cuttlefish of Cthulhu displayed as prominently as it would need to be. There is a boxer, a U.S. Olympic boxer named Ginny Fuchs. She's a flyweight boxer, and she got caught doping. She had a positive drug test. But apparently, this was a different kind of injection of steroids, and she has been cleared. She will not face punishment for a positive drug test. This, according to TMZ Sports, officials say she accidentally ingested banned substances through sex. She learned of the positive doping test in March, but USADA launched an investigation after she claimed it was because she was having unprotected sex with her boyfriend. And the probe into the incident revealed the 32-year-old wasn't lying. USADA officials say her positive sample did, in fact, come through intercourse. And according to the official statement, USADA determined that Fuchs's male partner was using therapeutic doses of letrozole and GW1516 and low amounts of a letrozole metabolite. GW1516 metabolites detected in her sample were consistent with recent exposure to the substances via sexual transmission. She will face no penalty over the positive test, and she's gunning to be the United States flyweight in the Tokyo Olympics next summer. She said, I had no idea you could get contaminated through intimate contact. She said, I've just learned a lesson about this, and now I want other athletes to learn from my mistake. She said, this has been a huge lesson for me, and now that it's over, I'm fully focused on preparing for Tokyo. So I can tell you, I had absolutely no idea this was possible. I also didn't, I don't know exactly what the science is that would let the anti-doping officials know for certain that the levels are consistent with that, because, you know, how do they know? I guess they do, but I guess bottom line is, good on them for righting a wrong or making sure that there isn't another wrong involved. Good on them. Well done. And that is this edition of the Midday Midway, which we do most days around this time. I want to mention, too, there's a little bit of baseball news that has come out in just the last few minutes, that there is now a report of yet another attempt by MLB to bridge the gap with the Players Association. And based on what we know, I don't think it's going to fly. Let me give you just some of the details real quick here. Carl Ravitch says, sources tell me MLB counter proposal today will move toward a season of roughly 70 plus games with a salary percentage on the 80 to 85% of pro rata playoff pool bonus. He says, my concern are the recent spikes in COVID-19. Worst case would be start and stop will players move. A couple things are wrong with this. First of all, we've got to stop using the term spikes. Spike and second wave, not happening. We are seeing increases in cases and hospitalizations, and they're just increases. These are in states where it hadn't been bad before. It's getting bad. It is not a second wave. This is just the first wave continuing unchecked. This is not what they refer to when they talk about a second wave. So we have to stop using that term. Doctors are saying that it's completely being used improperly. Now, second of all, this can't fly. The players will not counter and not respond. This is a reopening of the March Memorandum of Understanding. Eugene Friedman keeps telling us this, that if the players believe that memorandum, the agreement was done in March and pay is foreclosed at prorated salaries. Anything that reopens that is a non-starter. So I don't know why the baseball would expect that unless they accept prorated pay 100%, nothing is going to happen. Because baseball has made it very clear that they're not reopening the agreement, that pay is foreclosed. That is over, that is done, that is signed, and all that baseball has is the unilateral opportunity to impose that short season, but then they lose control over possible playoffs. So it looks like movement, but I don't really think it is. We are going to have a conversation with the man behind Long Gone Summer, that debuts Sunday night. AJ Schnock is the director of Long Gone Summer, the 30 for 30 on ESPN, and he is going to join us to talk about his movie next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Hey, Lawrence Holmes here. Being live and local with 670 The Score is more important than ever. So as America adjusts to the new work-at-home environment, trust us to keep you informed, entertained, and perhaps have a laugh or two along the way. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com and stream The Score live from your smart speaker instantly. 670 The Score is live and local, a radio.com sports station.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay, guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Driver So switch to Progressive to save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
My little brother Gavin was killed in a car crash in Knox County.
But Gavin was not known to wear a seatbelt. And the truck rolled 3 times. And when it flipped, he was ejected from the vehicle. At approximately 12:02, he didn't make it.
Imagine leaving life at the age of 27. It's not fair that I don't have my brother anymore. If you care about the people around you, tell your loved ones to put their seatbelts on. You can learn more about Gavin at lifeordeathillinois.com.
How to improve your dining room by the Home Depot. New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a